Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 edition of Sports Time Radio. I was a little stuck on if it was Tuesday or not. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. But hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Well, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning, hopefully. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's. And as you were saying, it's July 14th, and everybody, it's Big Jack's big birthday.
Ooh, yay. Yeah, send me gifts. SportsTimeRadio@hotmail.com. We'll tell you where to deliver them to. Well, you know. So, all right, Dan, I ran into some more of that stupidity on the Mickey Mouse Network that just drives me crazy. I was watching the end of the Jalen Rose and Jacoby, whatever the schmuck this guy's name is. He does the radio show and the television show with. And, you know, I actually like Jalen Rose. I always thought he was pretty, you know, he was pretty quality, you know, pretty good basketball player. And, you know, he's normally decent on this show. The other guy's a clown. He's just there to be the, I don't know, whatever the heck you want to call him, straight man, idiot, however you look at it. And they started talking about Dak Prescott. Now, Dak's agent has said that, you know, they've actually got, I think, about a week to go, but Dak's agent has come out and said that it doesn't, they're not going to sign a deal with the Cowboys, and Dak is planning on playing this season under the franchise tag, which will earn him $34.4 million. Now, Jalen Rose went on some rant about how he can't believe the Cowboys couldn't get him signed and, you know, all that other stuff. And, okay, that's not such a bad deal. I get it. You want to be ticked about that. What he forgot to mention was the Cowboys actually had a deal that was agreeable to Dak Prescott too many years, and he didn't want to sign it. He wanted a shorter-term deal, and they didn't want to go with a shorter-term deal because, obviously, he's their franchise quarterback. They wanted to lock him up just like the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes for 10 years. Now, I don't know how long Prescott's deal was. That was never reported. So they were on a good number or a good path, you know, and then it just kind of all fell apart like we've seen contract negotiations do. And then his moron partner weighs in, this Jacoby boob, talking about how Dak Prescott has been playing on a discount. Now, Dan, you would think that somebody who works for the Mickey Mouse Network and covers sports would have a general idea of how draft picks contracts work, right? I mean, is that too much to ask of a guy who hosts the show? I mean, like, I wouldn't expect you to, because I know you don't like the NFL, but that's why I'm here. So, now, Dan, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round draft pick, all right? That means he got a four-year contract. At a relatively set amount. The NFL contracts are relatively set based on where you draft and how things kind of work out for. Obviously, Dan, you're not paying a fourth-round draft pick anywhere near what you're going to be paying a first-rounder, right? Or maybe I'm a complete idiot. You know, maybe. Well, you're the accountant. Does that make good financial sense to pay all your draft picks like first-rounders?
Not at all. Why work hard for it?
Obviously, they got really good value out of a draft pick, the same way the Seattle Seahawks got really good value out of Russell Wilson, who was a third-round draft pick. All right. Now, these guys, if you're a good enough player, you know, in the NFL, you're going to get your money. It's not the Cowboys' fault that Prescott didn't play well enough in college and slipped into the fourth round. You know, I don't understand why he had to point out, he's been playing at a discount. No, he was playing at fair market value from where he was drafted, moron. You know, pay attention to what happens. Yes, he outplayed his contract. That's why he's in the position he is now. That's why he's going to be paid $31.4 million next season. So, stop being idiots and trying to blame everything on the team and everything on the owner and look at the situation. They couldn't renegotiate it because it was a rookie deal. Now, they could have extended it like the Browns did with Myles Garrett earlier today, but they obviously haven't been able to work out an agreement with Dak Prescott. And, you know, Dan, I like Dak Prescott. He's a perfectly fine quarterback. He's not a $31.4 million a year quarterback. And if you remember, I believe he said during the offseason he wanted a contract that was going to pay him $30 or $40 million a season. So I don't blame the Cowboys for not signing this guy. If they're smart, they'll keep him this year and next year under the franchise tag, draft his successor, let him go into free agency. You know, go try your wares. Ask Cam Newton how that worked out. So, but, yeah, I mean, just the idea that, A, they didn't try to sign him, and, B, the even stupider one that he was playing on a discount just drove me nuts. And I was like, yeah, I definitely got to yell at Dan about this to start the podcast. So,
well, and who is the other guy again? Is he just a journalist? He's not a actual athlete, or
You can tell by looking at him that he's not an actual athlete. You and I would be better, sources of athleticism than this clown is. But I'm sure at some point he thought he was an athlete. I don't know much about him, so let me look him up here and see what I can actually find out about him. So, maybe this will answer something. It looks like Jacoby might be his last name. Because they have a Dave Jacoby list. Yeah. Dave Jacoby is his name. Looks like he's been with the Mickey Mouse Network since 1999. So, but yeah, he has a, no, that's definitely not him. So I wonder, could there possibly, okay. there just happens to be a Dave Jacoby who is an Iowa State representative. So definitely not the same guy there. I was going to try to get some more information on him, but that's not going to help me. So, but yeah, it appears that he is I don't want to say just a journalist. I don't want to make it seem like I'm demeaning him, but
no,
yeah,
it
appears that, that's just what he does.
Yeah, and I didn't mean anything negative. I just meant, athlete compared to, a journalist. The other thing, and like you said, and let's be honest, it really doesn't matter if he's an athlete or a journalist. If he's working for the mothership, he should have some kind of research skills.
Sadly, this is one of the things that they throw in at the end of their podcast. And I thought they called it like news that mattered or something goofy like that. So my guess is they threw it in last minute and neither of them had, neither of them bothered to get anybody to do any research for it, because you damn well know they're not doing their own. But yeah, if they would have just looked into it, you know, they would have realized that, you know, A, they almost had an agreement, but Dak said it had too many years on it, or Dak's agent said it had too many years on it, you know, and then B, he was playing under the contract he was because he was a fourth round draft pick. So, you know, it was just, you know, again, total.
Yeah.
Total
when you think about it, though. Yeah, but at the same time, and maybe it's just not clarified, he was drafted in the fourth round, but do you think that's part of the reason he was held back that far? Because, you know, maybe someone who could be drafted in the first round, a lineman or, you know, some kind of, yeah, I guess maybe a lineman or something, the value might not be the same as the quarterback would.
Yeah, but, you know, in a sense like that, obviously you pay a lineman less than – first-round lineman less than you pay first-round quarterbacks. But, you know, he went in the fourth round because he just didn't play that well in college. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't projected to be this type of NFL quarterback, you know, a la, you know, the way our good buddy Mitchell Trubisky was. So, you know, and again, you know, I don't know what they saw or what they, you know, what they thought, but it just didn't, you know, it just didn't project out that way for him. You know, and he just ended up slipping to the, you know, the fourth round. And then humorously, you know, he made a little over $2 million last year. So it's not like he was playing for pennies. But yeah, you know, like when you look at it here, like here's his college numbers. His last year he threw for 3,793 yards with 29 TDs and just five interceptions. So you know, those are really solid numbers. The problem now is the college game has so much, has accelerated into such a passing game now that those 29 touchdowns are almost laughable here. In Patrick Mahomes' last 2 years in his college career, he threw 36 and 41. So, you know, if you kind of start rolling through those things, you know, you realize that the college numbers just weren't there. So he didn't look like a first round quarterback, or, you know, in reality, even an NFL starting quarterback. So, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. And that was the draft where Jared Goff and Carson Wentz went 1 and 2.
Oof. That's a pretty good draft class.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously going back, you look, you know, and you wonder maybe he could have went a little higher than he did, but, you know, it gets to the point where is that teams need quarterback? You know, I mean, because they don't, you know, I mean, you do, I'm sure, you know, if we were to ask Dan, the Jets at number 51 took Christian Hackenberg. I'm sure they would like to have that pick back and take Dak Prescott. But, you know, at the time, Hackenberg was looked at as an NFL starter, and people thought the Jets were getting a steal by getting him in the second round. So, you know, Prescott is just one of those stories where he did much better than what it appeared he was going to do. So, you know, and that's why he's in position to make the money he is, you know, he's in now, you know, unlike, and, you know, I'll use Trubisky again, who instead of having his fifth year option picked up by the Bears is now in the last year of his contract and will go into free agency last year just because he hasn't been that good.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, he's been here. This will be his fourth year with the team. And when you're a fourth round pick, you get a fifth year option on your contract. But the team has to pick it up before the fourth year starts.
I don't know if it's
and
exact.
I actually
it seems like it was last season.
Yeah, I may be incorrect about the pickup date, but I know they have to pick it up, you know, obviously before that fourth year is over. So, yeah, he's basically playing for his career right now, if he even wins the starting job.
He won't.
You know, so, you know, he may make more than Dak did in his first 4 years. But he was the second pick in the draft. That's how it works out.
So he better have saved his money because he's not going to get Dak Prescott money. That's what you're saying.
If he goes out and has a really good year, you know, and the Bears go to the playoffs, you know, they'll pay him. Somebody will pay him because that's what teams do. But if he goes out and plays like he did last year, you know, there's only going to be teams willing to bring him in as a second stringer, and you know, he's probably going to get league minimum, you know, whatever that may be. So, and then it was humorous that they tried to compare Dak some of the other quarterbacks. You know, like Jared Goff got big money. What they forgot to mention was Jared Goff has been to the Super Bowl. Dak Prescott hasn't. They tried to compare him to Carson Wentz. Well, even though Carson Wentz didn't play in that Super Bowl, he helped get the Eagles to the Super Bowl before he got hurt. Dak Prescott has yet to get the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. They compared him to Matthew Stafford, and yeah, you know, the Lions are terrible, but Stafford is the only shining star they have on that team, and they pay to keep him there because without him, they'd be 1-15 every freaking year. You know, and if you look at Stafford's numbers, they're better than Dak Prescott's in the NFL. So, you know, there's a reason Stafford got paid by the Lions, you know, and now, you know, it's Dak Prescott's turn to get paid. You know, he paid his NFL dues, 4 years in the league. He's shown that he can be a starter. You know, again, he's yet to take a team to the Super Bowl. And to be fair, I'm trying to remember if he's even had a team win a playoff game. I'll have to see if I can hunt that information down as I'm rambling here, but yeah, I don't, you know, like I know the Cowboys have went to the playoffs with him as their quarterback, but I don't know if they've actually managed to win a game. So I will use Dan's favorite search engine and Bing this here really quickly and hunt down Dak's playoff record and see if I can find out any stats. Yeah, he's played in three playoff games, so they must have won at least one because he played in two in 2018. So let me I should be able to double check this really quick. 2018, he won the wild card game against the Seattle Seahawks. They won that game 11-6, so that was a barn burner. And then he lost them the division round to the Los Angeles Rams. They lost that game. Or no, wait, it was 24-22 they beat the Seahawks. And then they lost to the Rams 30-22 the next week. So he's 1-3 in the playoffs. And out of the 4 years he's been the Dallas starter, Dan, he's gotten them to the playoffs two times. So, you know, that's kind of where we are. And, you know, interestingly, he did just have come. He's coming off his best year as an NFL quarterback, even though the Cowboys were just 8-8. You know, he threw for 4,900 yards with 30 touchdowns. So he had a really, really good year last year leading into this. So, you know, that's obviously a big plus on his side. We'll have to kind of see how this goes and how it works out. But, yeah, you know, if they can't come to an agreement and Dak signs the franchise tender, he'll get $31.4 million next year.
Whew.
Not too bad, right? I mean, now there's no, you know, bonuses or guarantees, and that's the stuff. And to this day, I don't understand why these NFL guys complain about it, you know, because the first thing they bring up is, well, what if I get hurt? Well, you just made $31.4 million. How much more do you need? You know, God forbid he has a career-ending injury next year. But even if he did, he just made $31.4 million. I would like to think he could live comfortably for the rest of his life, you know, on that money. And I'm sure he could find something else to do. You know, he's had some commercial success. You know, it's possible he, you know, he could go into something like that. I mean, there are, you know, there's always other options. I don't know if he's got a broadcast interest like, you know, Greg Olsen or anything like that. But, you know, there are other options for there. You know, obviously it wouldn't be NFL starting quarterback money. But, it, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's still a living, right?
I mean, he could invest in the Mets.
He could become one of those guys. So, I mean, you know, just the thought of that whole thing just made me crazy when I was, you know, listening to him. And all I kept thinking to myself was, oh, my God, don't you guys do research? You know, you're on a national network, you know, the big-time leader in sports. When it, you know, all said and done, somebody says sports, you think, you know, the mothership, the Mickey Mouse Network, you know, all these clowns that have ran through there, and you've got nobody doing your research. You know,
well,
I mean, was his contract a blessing for the Cowboys? Sure. But that's the pay scale he fell into.
So you're saying they sound like two guys on a phone?
No, well, they sound like two guys on the phone who didn't know what they were talking about. You know, I mean, just two guys who wanted to make sure their opinion got out there, whether it was right or wrong, it didn't matter. You know, and like Jalen Rose's perspective was coming more from like the fan side of it. You know, why couldn't they sign him? Because you know that's what Cowboy fans are saying. Oh my God, I can't believe they can't get a deal done. This is ridiculous. So you know, I can understand, and you know, not being too difficult on him. But, you know, this other guy is a journalist. He should better. You know, you can't tell me he doesn't know the structure of the NFL draft and how the contracts relate to that, you know, and how players are paid and all that other crap that goes with it. You know, and just, yeah, oh, yeah, of course Dak Prescott was playing on a discount, but he, you know, because he was a fourth-round draft pick. You could say the same thing about Russell Wilson. He played on a discount for Seattle for 4 years because he was a third-round draft pick. You know, Tom Brady played on a discount for New England for 4 years because he was a sixth-round draft pick. That's how it's set up. So, you know, it's just the way it works in the NFL world. You want to complain about Dak's contract? Well, when the CBA comes up, maybe you should step in and do something about it because your union agreed to it. Or Dak's union
well, he's
agreed
not even
to
in
it,
the union.
I should say. Right, Dak Prescott agreed to it. So, yeah, it's just, you know, and I think that's the thing that gets me more than, you know, anything. You know, and it's not that his point wasn't right. He did play for a discount, but there's a reason why. And you left that out because, again, if you tell the whole story, well, it ruins your point. You know, then it's not as shocking. Wait, oh, well, he played for a discount. Yeah, because that's the salary structure of a fourth-round draft pick. You know, and I get it. That kills the whole story right there. You know, but when you start talking about what a discount he played at, and then you look and he played for, just a shade over $2 million last year, and you look at his numbers and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he gave them such a discount. Well, he didn't. That's how the contracts are structured. You know, ask anybody who was just drafted in the fourth round this year.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you, and I don't know if this is something that they do or not, but, I mean, are there incentives inside rookie contracts? And when it comes to incentives and crap like that, does that affect – or do they even do incentives, you know, not for just rookies, but, you know, future contracts for future guys? But do incentives, you know, make a negative impact on the salary cap?
Yeah, you know, I don't believe rookie contracts can have signing bonuses. You know, I believe the first-round draft picks get signing bonuses. You know, I don't believe there's any incentives involved, and I think, you know, if I remember correctly, which is again a stretch for me, you just never know. I do believe that like a percentage of it counts against the salary cap. It may not be the whole thing. It may be the whole thing. Who knows with me? I may be just out on a limb here. I'll have to see. Maybe I can, if I think about it real quick here, maybe I can pull it up and run it down. But yeah, it would be interesting to kind of, kind of figure that out. But as I type away on my computer here, which is always fun to listen to. So, gotta get on the right number here. So, but yeah, it doesn't appear. There we go. Dak had a signing bonus with his original contract. He received it in the first year for $383,393. Now, I don't know how they came up with that. So, but yeah, I mean, when you look at the contract for Dak, yeah, I mean, it is kind of a joke, especially for a starting NFL quarterback. The first year, and again, you got to remember, he's a fourth-round pick. He got $450,000. The next year, it jumped to $540,000. Then it jumped to $630,000. And then last year, he made the $2 million. But you also got to, what they also didn't really mention, Dan, and you got to realize, a lot of these guys, you're a fourth-round pick for a reason. You don't always get to that fourth year of the contract. Because this is the NFL where they can kind of go, okay, well, it's time for you to go. And there's nothing, nothing you can really do about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of the way. The way things go, the way it's structured, that's all collectively bargained. Like this year, here you go, Dan. Our guy Mitchell Trubisky gets $825,000 in salary. All right, he gets a little over $4.8 million in his signing bonus, and a roster bonus of over $3.6 million. So his cap hit for this year is $9.327 million for the Bears. All right, now, so there's the difference, Dan, between being good enough to be an NFL first-round pick and an NFL fourth-round pick.
Wow. And it should have been the other way around, correct?
Yeah. Now Trubisky has already been paid all of his signing bonus. So he won't see any of that this year. He will be paid a roster bonus though, for actually making the roster, which is kind of humorous. Like this year officially his salary is a little over $4.5 million. So he made, he'll make $2.5 million more than Dak Prescott did because he was a first round pick.
Wow.
So, and again, that's nobody's fault but the Bears. they were the ones who decided that he was, a first round pick, and they were going to pay him like a first round pick. So. But enough, enough about me complaining, Dan. We have to get on to my my good news portion of the day, I don't know if you had caught this, because I saw this pretty late in the day, so I don't know if or when it actually happened, but it looks like our guy got a deal finally, Dan. It's being reported that as long as he can pass his physical, Yasiel Puig will be joining the Atlanta Braves.
So when does he take his physical? Oh, I want to know. I guess
yeah,
the birthday came too early this year.
Yeah, you've got to assume with everything going on, you know, it's going to be pretty quick. But yeah, you know, like they haven't released terms of the deal or anything, and you know, this makes some sense for the Braves. You got to remember, Nick Markakis just announced that he's going to be opting out. So that really left them with only three outfielders. You know, it was Marcell Ozuna, Ender Inciarte, and Ronald Acuna Jr. You know, and now with the DH, you know, you can use guys like this. I know they do have Adam Duvall, but I don't know if they were planning on using him every day. So yeah, at least our guy is gonna, you know, he's gonna get a job and get a shot. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it goes.
I hate to sound like this, but dude, that's a killer outfield for the Braves next year.
Yeah. I don't understand why he's been sitting out here so long. You know, nobody's going to be able to, you know, convince me that it's his attitude. I don't buy that.
No, but you know, the other thing about it though is, I think the whole COVID thing. You know, I highly expected him to get something going on, you know, maybe more into spring training. But the fact that we never really even got to spring training, you know what I mean? I think that's one of the reasons why it dragged. And then, you know, one of the things you brought up with them, you know, obviously everyone just waiting around to see what the league's going to do, or is what held them back, because we didn't really see any signings at all during this whole time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think you actually, I brought up the fact that I wasn't totally on board with having trades, but, you know, you mentioned, like, you know, 15 games in and Giancarlo Stanton goes out, you know, what are you going to do? You got to be able to trade and kind of move things around. So, I'm, you know, it'll be interesting for him. The Braves are on the up and up, and you know, putting him into that outfield and be able to mix him in as a DH along with Acuna and Ozuna. I mean, well, I don't know Ozuna, but you know, I think it's going to work out great. You know, they just need another first baseman, right?
Yeah, well, you know, as far as it goes, you know, apparently Freeman is going to play. I believe he tested positive for the coronavirus, so he's got to get through that first. But I think he's planning on playing. I haven't heard anything about him opting out. So, but yeah, you know, and I know apparently what partially motivated this signing is the Braves have a prospect by the name of Christian, and I'm gonna guess this is Pache, P-A-C-H-E. Hit on Baseball Reference here and see if I can get a better idea what the pronunciation is. They have it as Pache, so there you go. Apparently, they were planning on using him as like the fourth outfielder. He's just 21 years old, but he injured himself. So that gave them, you know, not only the Markakis opt-out, but the fact that this guy got injured, you know, made it more a better move, I guess you should say, for them to bring Puig in and, you know, lock him up for the year. But, you know, I would still take Puig over, you know, a minor leaguer, no matter how good of a prospect he is. So.
What's their pitching staff look like again? Not Anibal Sanchez and company anymore, is it?
No, well, you know, they got, you know, the King opted out. and they're still waiting to see what happens with Cole Hamels. They don't quite know if he's going to be ready for the restart of the season, but you know, they have, you know, they have all the young guys. They got Soroka and Fulton Awitz, and you know, I don't know who else they're gonna shuffle in, because they have, you know, just a ton of young guys. You know, they let Julio Teheran go in free agency. He ended up signing with the Angels. And I'm trying to remember who else was in the rotation last year, because I know they brought Hamels in as the veteran guy to try to help stabilize it, but he had – do you remember, did he have a – was it an oblique? Do you remember what he ended up hurting that shelved him? Because he's been hurt for a while now.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Oh. But, you know, they have a ton of just fantastic young arms. And I know, you know, everybody's really high on Soroka, you know, so I think they're kind of expecting him to be the guy who ends up being the ace of the staff. And, you know, they've talked about Tuki, I believe it is pronounced Tuki Toussaint, for multiple years now. So you've got to wonder if, you know, maybe he's finally ready to get himself into the rotation. And, ow. I don't know. You know, it's not supposed to rain, Dan, but my knee's giving me a lot of trouble. So, and, yeah, I'm going to have to look here. I keep racking my brain to think who the other Braves starters were, and I should know, but I could only come up with the three there. So,
Well, I mean, you had Soroka, Fulton Awitz, Max Fried,
yeah.
You know, Cole, like you mentioned, Sean Newcomb, and Kyle Wright.
Yeah, and I know, remember they signed Keuchel to be that veteran guy last year, but obviously he's gone. You know, they traded for Kevin Gausman, he's gone. So it's just, you know, we know they're going to have Soroka, Fulton Awitz, and Fried. You know, and then Hamels, if and when he's healthy, it, you know, it's just going to depend which one of these young guys they're looking to go with, or they're going to kind of decide they're going to run out there for the first three or four innings of the game. So,
yeah.
See if I can. I got a projected roster here. Let's see what they have for the Braves. The Braves starting five. Yeah, they have. I know. No, maybe this is where you got it. They have Soroka, Fried, Fulton Awitz, Sean Newcomb, and Kyle Wright as the top five starters, and none of them is even 29 yet.
Not a bad deal, though.
Yeah. So. You know, yeah, all their veteran guys are in the bullpen. So, you know, we'll see. And they list Hamels' injury as tricep tendonitis. But that's new, because they listed it as July 11th. But I know he had something else before then. But yeah, you got to think, you know, it's going to be another really good year for the Braves. So,
I don't want to say it's about time, but I mean, they've been climbing, and it just seems like it hasn't worked out, you know, with the chipper days. And then, you know, kind of coming up to where they were now. And, you know, you're not going to relive the 90s. And, of course, I'm sure they would like to, but I'm sure they'd also like to do better than, you know, what ended up resulting in the 90s after what seemed like 10 years of amazing baseball down there.
Yeah, the tough part, and I mean, you've watched enough baseball to know, with pitching this young, you never really know what you're gonna get. I mean, fortunately, some of the guys have shown already that they can pitch at the major league level. But, they're counting on Soroka to be an ace here, Dan. I didn't realize he's not even 23 yet. And they're going to plug him in at the top of their rotation. That's a lot to ask for, a kid, because, obviously at the top of the rotation, especially to start, you run into all those big number ones, the guys named Scherzer, DeGrom, especially in your division. So, that's a big step for a kid that age, and you just kind of never know. And I mean, even their everyday lineup is really young with, Acuna and Albies and Austin Riley and even Dansby Swanson. He's not even 27 yet.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. I mean, again, we'll have to kind of figure out how this works out. But I wanted to run something by you that I just kind of something or nothing for you. Again, just kind of, I thought it was kind of funny. I was watching some highlights. I don't even remember what the heck I was watching it on. But it comes up with the Philly spring training game yesterday. And Bryce Harper played third base for two innings, Dan. Something or nothing?
Spring training. But no, I think it's something. How do I put this? I mean, some guys are definitely destined to play in certain positions. Sometimes they're put in positions where they could be more successful to maybe hide some things. But you've got to wonder if maybe his defensive talent, or however you want to put it, has grown to where he wants to try to move into the infield and see if he can make an impact at third base. I mean, I think he's proven that he's got a decent arm in the outfield, but I think as he gets older, it's just going to diminish. And bringing him into the infield, I think, would be a great thing for him, especially if he could take those balls at third base. The only problem is, he can't play with his buddy. And maybe that's our secret takeaway from that, is that he's given up on, Chris Bryant coming to play with him. So, or, they could always flip-flop right for third every other day, right? They can go play for the Angels.
they could just continue to switch. And now, the Phillies have – what I would describe here is an interesting roster construction when it comes to infielders. Because they got Scott Kingery, who really played the majority of time at third last year, but it looks like he's going to move back to his natural position at second. They signed your guy Didi, so he's looking to be the everyday shortstop. All right, now that leaves Gene Segura, who played short last year, to move over to third base. But then they signed Josh Harrison and Neil Walker, both guys who have played quite a bit of third base and have a lot of experience as utility guys. But the one thing that lacks here, Dan, is there's not a lot of power. Didi's probably going to be good for 20 bombs because it's not Yankee Stadium, so he won't have that short right porch. But Philadelphia, the ball carries pretty well. I think he can get to 20, maybe 25. Kingery, Segura, Harrison, Walker, not really power hitters. If Bryce could actually play some third, that could allow the Phillies to add one more big bat into their lineup in the outfield. So, it could kind of be a – an interesting move for them, just kind of depending on if they think they've got a guy to plug in there to really fill that role and, become a semi good power hitter. we'll have to see. I mean, I know, like, they're carrying Roman Quinn and Nick Williams, or a couple of the guys here. I don't know if they could be big-time power hitters if they were given the at-bat. And, looking at just, like, some of the guys they signed, they do still have Odubel Herrera. I thought maybe they would let him go after all the issues last year, but he's still hanging around, so maybe he gets one more shot.
If only they had a Struble.
Yeah.
you remember the bad joke, the bad Pat Hughes joke. Odubel Struble. Never mind.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, that could be, maybe that could be something we could see. I think that would be kind of interesting if, Harper found his way to play some third here and there, and, then he could make fun of Chris Bryant.
it might not be a bad thing. He's got the makeout for it, the build, the whole nine,
Yeah, and, oddly, I'm sure somewhere along his career he's done it. I wouldn't be shocked at all to find out that he actually has played quite a bit of third throughout his career. So, but here's something, Dan. That was kind of on the lighter side there. This is a little more serious, and I think here locally, it may be something we have to be concerned about. The Cubs announced today that Anthony Rizzo is going to undergo an MRI on his back. He hasn't worked out for the past week. And again, the Cubs are, the Cubs are a team with a lot of talent. But, Dan, I don't think they're going anywhere without Rizzo. What about you?
No. And this – See, I knew this was just going to get worse. And you've got to wonder, Rizzo is one of Theo's guys, so let's make sure we put that out there. But he has a considerably low contract for his talent and what kind of put on his shoulders at being the Cubs, guy, Mr. Cub. So you've got to wonder because, Anthony, this is one of the reasons, and I know doesn't really correlate, fantasy to real. But one of the reasons I haven't ever drafted Rizzo was because I know of his back issues.
Yeah, and, he's managed to play through them. He plays a good amount of games. And, even when he missed time last year, it was because of that ankle. This is a little worrisome. I mean, they've been resting him for a week. Like David Ross describes it as once he cools down is when the stiffness comes back. So, I don't know if maybe there's a way they could, continually keep him loose. If you remember a different sport, obviously, but remember when Larry Bird had the bad back, when the Celtics took him out of games, he actually had to lay down off the court so he could stay loose to get back into the game. So, depending on what they find, and apparently they're supposed to have the results tomorrow. I don't know if you and I will have the results tomorrow, but the Cubs will have the results tomorrow.
Yeah, I
think this is just huge for them.
Well, and you've got to imagine to have a bad back.
All right, you faded off in mid-sentence there. I don't know if your Bluetooth went out again or what happened, but you went away. Uh-oh, did I just lose Dan totally? There you go.
My daughter had a tragic accident, slip and fall.
Oh.
with back injuries, he could be fine in like 2 weeks. And then, he could swing a little too hard on a breaking ball or, God forbid, a spitball comes back into play. And all of a sudden, a wicked swing and he's thrown his back out again. And it could be, another 14 to 30 days. And, I think it's, like you said, it's huge, especially coming in with this season only being 60 games. I mean, he could potentially miss half the season.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a big deal because not only is he one of their better players, but he's the guy I would describe as the team leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's that guy I would say, you know, this is – if you said whose team is it, I would say it's Anthony Rizzo's team. So, you know, without him, you know, that could be a big loss. And I don't know – you know, I mean, you know, obviously they have some other guys who have played there and could play there, but you know, none of them are going to be as good as Rizzo. And then not only is he a really good hitter, he's a solid, you know, he's a really solid defensive player. You'll be taking a left-handed bat out of the lineup. You know, yeah, I wonder if, you know, can your guy, Steven Souza Jr., play some first base? Maybe he gets some at-bats while Rizzo's recovering?
I would think that's a possibility, but, I mean, even – and this may be a stretch, but, you know, do you have to shuffle things around and maybe have Ian Happ join the crew playing a little bit more at second base or even center field? To have someone, you know, help cover first base.
Yeah, well, in all honesty, what I would love to see them do, and I know they won't do this, but, you know, remember, we're going to have expanded rosters to start. You know, if for some reason Rizzo can't go at the start of the season and maybe he's got to go on the DL, I saw they just instituted a 10-day DL. Maybe he's got to go on the DL for 10 days. You know, Dan, if it's me, I'm running Victor Caratini out there, and I'm just carrying another veteran catcher as my backup, you know, because they did sign Josh Fagley. So, you know, Fagley could be the backup catcher or the third catcher. And, I would give Caratini the at-bat because we know he can hit.
Yeah, and, you know, let's be honest. And, you know, hopefully maybe that's something David, you know, Grandpa Rossi is looking at, you know, one of the situations, and hopefully it's a completely different, obviously it's going to be different, but I'm just hoping we have like a 180 compared on, you know, managing styles. So it'll be interesting to see a fresh off the field guy kind of getting a shot. So you hope that he takes that into consideration, and he knows these guys, so he should know that, you know, he could play first base and, you know, hit the ball.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's played some first base or, you know, I mean, even worse, you know, you could even do it where Caratini plays first for a couple games and then Contreras goes out there for a game and Caratini catches, you know, to cut mm-hmm. Contreras a little slack on the plate. And, you know, these games are probably going to start to pile up, you know, rather quickly, being that we've got to play 60 in kind of a short time frame. I thought about Schwarber, but I don't think he's got the defensive skills to play first. Do you?
No, I don't think so. The thing about Schwarber, though, and I think the one thing that everyone loves about him is that he's not going to quit on you. You know, he would do it. I think you could put him at any position, okay, and he would – you know, he would fight to do his best at that position, whether or not he's, you know, really designed to play that position. So, you know, it would be an interesting experiment, but I don't know. I just, there's like this first baseman quality that they all seem to have. And you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but there's this quality that a first baseman has. And I just don't see that in Schwarber.
Yeah, he doesn't quite seem like, you know, he's a little short, a little round. You know, if he was taller and round, it would mm-hmm. be okay. There's a lot of those guys that, you know, used to be first baseman. But I did just realize maybe your guy Daniel DeScalzo could fill in over there a little bit. He, you know, he's still with the team.
Yeah, maybe he can fill in with the Diamondbacks.
Sorry, I couldn't help that. I know that was mean. I just, you know, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
But like I said, that was, you know, when I thought that was a huge concern for me. If I'm a Cub fan, or, you know, if I thought the Cubs were going to do anything, you ain't doing it without Rizzo.
No, you're not. And I don't know. I hate to be in this boat, and I'm not going to naysay or be negative on the Cubs, but I mean, I just don't see it for them for this year.
No, you know, I always have hope because they're really talented, but it just, for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to go their way.
No. You know, if the hitting's on, the pitching's off, vice versa.
Yeah. Dan, here's a story that we can kind of file in the, I guess we kind of figured sooner or later this would happen again. Believe it or not, Minnesota Twins center fielder Byron Buxton got hurt again today at practice. You know, this guy was the number one rated prospect for, I don't even know how many years, two or three years easily. You know, they brought him up. He didn't hit. They sent him back down. It actually looked like he was going to hit. And I mean, now he just can't stay healthy. I mean, it's just it's almost ridiculous. You know, I mean, this guy is the definition of injury prone, isn't he?
Yeah. Torrey Hunter can't come help him.
Yeah. Here you go, Dan. Here's a little tidbit of this. You know, the first year he was called up, the first year in 2015, he got sent down, so he only played 46 games. The next year he got hurt, he only played 92. 2017, he managed to play 140 games. 2018, just 28 due to injury. Last year, just 87 due to injury.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, I guess he's due now for a full year, though, right? Because he had two short years, a full year, and then two short years. So he would be due to play a good amount, you know, at least, 50 games this year. But it doesn't look like it's getting off to that kind of start for him. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, I mean, Dan, you know, this was the guy again. You know, all the talent in the world. And it just, for whatever reason, you know, who knows, bad luck, however you want to describe it. This guy just can't keep himself on the field. You know, I guess in a situation like that, do you look at him as a bust? You know, with as well-rated as he was and as well-picked as he was, is he in the bust category for you at this point? Or how do you kind of look at that?
He's definitely joining the bust list.
Don't forget the podcast is available to listen to whenever you feel like it.
SportsTimeRadio.com.